This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company. For more information and links to all our great podcasts, visit hartmanmedia.com.
Welcome to the Holistic Survival Show with Jason Hartman. The economic storm brewing around the world is set to spill into all aspects of our lives. Are you prepared? Where are you going to turn for the critical life skills necessary to survive and prosper? The Holistic Survival Show is your family's insurance for a better life. Jason will teach you to think independently, to understand threats, and how to create the ultimate action plan. Sudden change or worst case scenario, you'll be ready. Welcome to Holistic Survival, your key resource for protecting the people, places, and profits you care about in uncertain times. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Jason Hartman.
Hey, it's my pleasure to welcome Nick Pulse to the show. He's got a tremendous background, military, security, prepping, and real estate investing too. A newer thing for him, but he's very excited about it. He was referred by one of the financial advisors and mortgage people we do business with in my real estate company. So it's a pleasure to have him on. Nick, where are you located?
Hey, first of all, Jason, thanks a lot. I'm out of Virginia right now.
Fantastic. Tell us a little bit about your background in the military and so forth.
Sure. So I was active duty Army from about 2002 to early 2014. I spent my career in Army Special Forces, otherwise commonly known as the Green Berets. And during that career, I had multiple deployments, different theaters of operation, Middle East, Africa, et cetera. So I got to see a lot of the places in the world that few people get to observe, I guess. Those garden variety spots where they're hot and sandy.
Yeah, they probably weren't very nice, I assume. Can you share any of the special operations you did? Any Green Beret ops we can know about?
A lot of that world, unfortunately, was you leave that behind once you get out, and you kind of have to, it's a classified world. So it's kind of, if we talk a little unclass, you're going to do some, there's some training. Worked a lot with host nation forces in getting them up to where they need to be to actively pursue security in their individual countries. And then there was some what you would call unilateral or U.S. military specific missions that we were part of during deployments.
Very interesting. Good stuff. So what have you done since you got out of the military? You started a security company, and then you've also really worked on survival skills for yourself, right?
So, yeah, post-military, I got out early 2014. I set up my own security consulting company. We quickly joined with another company that had been in existence for a while. And that company is called TOSS, Tactical Operations Support Services. And TOSS has three different lines of effort. We do a training shop, which conducts training for different special operations and other government agencies. We have a consulting service, which goes out, and primarily our clients consist of your Fortune 500 companies, your high net dollar worth individuals, and we'll go in and look at their individual security assessments. We'll conduct some PSD, personal security, and it runs the gamut there. We also work in the cyber world, where we'll be asked to come in and conduct testing on different networks to find out if there's any weaknesses or vulnerabilities. And we have an alarm monitoring service.
Tell us about some of the things that you want to share with people in terms of security and what they can do. I want to talk physical security first, but then, you know, maybe we'll touch on cybersecurity a little bit too.
So what we'll do on the security side of the house is we'll get called in, and the company or individual say, hey, can you take a look at my business or my residence? You know, there's concerns here with my situation not being the most robust when it comes to the ability for people to get in, or there may be some threats made against the individual or the company. So what we'll do is we'll come in and we will interview a lot of the different staff. We'll interview the senior leadership. We'll take a look at the structure. And then based off of that walkthrough, that usually takes about a day, we'll then provide recommendations and places that we can provide the client the opportunity to harden his structure or harden his building or his house to make him less of a target and mitigate some of the risks. And the reason why we're able to do that is because everybody that's a part of these security assessments or the security consulting work has done it for decades overseas. We have guys retired from the Bureau, Federal Bureau of Investigation. We have retired special operations guys from the Army and the Navy. We've retired guys from the intelligence community.
Right. Okay, so you got guys with resumes, Nick, but tell us what you do. Like, give us some examples of the actual work.
So a recent example was a CEO of a Fortune 500 company. They called us in. They said, hey, we want you to do two things. We want you to come in and look at my house and tell me where any weaknesses may lie and then how I can harden that structure. And I also want you to run a TSCM sweep, a technical security countermeasures, because I'm concerned that there may be some bugs, meaning that the recording device is in the house. So we'll go up there, we'll walk through the property, we'll take pictures, we'll interview the staff, we'll interview the people, and then we'll then provide a recommendations for how we can make that structure harder and more easy or more difficult to for someone to breach.
How do you sweep for bugs for recording devices and transmitting devices?
There's certain equipment that you need, and that equipment is then run at certain wavelengths, and they look for certain equipment that's communicating at those different wavelengths, and then the guys will run through, conduct their sweep, and then they'll process it and provide the feedback.
Okay, but can you be a little more specific about that? Like, what equipment do you use and how do you do it? I mean, if it's a recording device and not a transmitting, I can see how you'd identify a transmitting device, but how do you identify recording devices that aren't sending a signal?
That expertise and that specialty is not my background, so I wouldn't be able to talk specifically to the equipment.
Are you more on this physical security side then, Nick?
Right, the physical security, the personal security detail, that type of world is where we work.
Okay, give us some examples there of how people can strengthen their home and fortify it.
Well, some simple thing is your alarm system. I mean, that's kind of the simplest way to start is, if you are concerned in the area that you live in, put in a good alarm system, one that's going to cover the perimeter doors, and then one that's also going to cover your dead spaces. And dead spaces meaning that if somebody comes through the window or is able to get through maybe the garage door, you have certain PIR, which are IR devices, infrared, which will detect movement. And so those are start with a basic security system to make yourself a harder target. Because a lot of times what happens is, if somebody's going to be robbing your house or looking to do any type of damage to your house, an alarm system, just a simple sticker that says you have an alarm, and then a exterior lighting system is a very big deterrent. And it forces people to move to the next door, to think twice before they go after the house. Because that's ultimately what you want to do.
You know, Nick, you would hope that stuff would be just common sense. I know it totally isn't. But, you know, what can you do in the more advanced ways? Any advice on, you know, some stuff beyond lighting and alarm systems? Which is good advice. I mean, you know, hopefully most people would know that, but not all of them do.
You know, a lot of the security, quite frankly, is where you're going to be at. If it's an area that's does not have a high criminal threat, or advanced stuff is not going to take you too far. Simple things like awareness. I mean, understanding your surroundings, getting as you go day to day, going back and forth to work, you see things that a pattern that's going to develop. And in those times when things are not the same, that's when you really got to be alert. And that's part of that ability to be switched on, because humans often just get into a rut and get into a pattern. So trying to stay alert and break that pattern is really one of the best things you can do.
Mm-hmm. Because that's what, if someone wants to harm you or rob you, they notice your patterns, your routines, right? Your time frames and so forth?
Correct. That's one of the simplest ways. Depending on how in-depth they want to get into that, they're going to look at the weakest time or the time when you're least aware. And that generally is when you get into that rut and you get into that lull where you're doing the same thing over and over again, and your guard gets to be lowered.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about your prepping, if you would, and what you're doing there.
So on the survival side of the house, some of the things that kind of was drilled into us as in the Army was the contingency planning. So I was going, as much as I was gone when I was active duty, I wanted to make sure that my wife and my family were in a position where if something were to happen, they would not have to be worried about eating or drinking water or staying warm. So what that left us to do is we kind of recognized and did some planning as far as the systemic risks in the food supply and some of the infrastructure. And what we did is we started to build a little supply of food and water at the house to be able to survive for a certain amount of time. Meaning if something happened, 24, 48, 96 hours, we'd be good. And then we started building on to that understanding we to get to the point where you had a few months worth of food and water.
So the basic is known as the 72-hour. That's kind of the bug-out bag idea. I think the next real demarcation point, if you will, is about 3 weeks. Because after 3 weeks, many people will not survive a disaster. And where are you? How ready are you?
So what we did when we sat down is we looked at the calorie count, right? A lot of times you see in these different manuals which describe you how to store food and how much food to build up is they'll sell certain packages and they'll say it feeds one person for, you know, this amount of days. But you dig in and drill into the calorie count and you look at that calorie count's not very high. So what we did is we built up our calorie count and we wanted to get to 2 to 3 months worth of food to be comfortable.
Yeah. So what kind of food did you use? I mean, are you canning? Are you using MREs or what are you doing?
So what we did is we have mostly MREs because that's kind of grew up on, I guess I got a taste for them while I was active duty. And then we have a couple other.
You're used to them.
Yeah. Yeah. We're used to them. So we got mostly MREs and then we have some dried food. That we use.
Nick, what advice would you give people in terms of how to secure their home, how to survive, you know, just any other general advice, maybe questions I didn't ask you?
One thing I would say is planning. Think about the contingency planning. Think about some things that can go wrong and then put measures into place to mitigate that stuff now. Because when you're thinking about it, it's easy to plan. But when the emergency happens or that time happens where you go from being calm and relaxed to being stressed out, you lose a lot of your motor skills and you lose a lot of your ability to think rationally. So that's not the time to be trying to figure out how to employ certain things. That's the time to just put your plan into place and execute.
So take the thinking out of the equation because the thinking is where you go bad when you're under stress. It's got to be rote, right?
Correct. It takes a lot of training and often an off-said saying in the military, in a time of crisis, you're not going to rise to your expectations. You're going to lower to your level of training. So the more training that you have, the more you'll be able to execute in a stressful situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good. Good stuff. That's very, very good point. You're investing in real estate now, and you've got a few properties going, and you formed a little venture on this, right?
Yes. Yeah, we. When I got out, I've always been interested in real estate. When I got out, I had a little more time to focus on it and get the education I needed to be successful. So what we wanted to do is we wanted to, like everything in our life, put planning in place and prepare for different things that could happen. Part of that was developing another stream of income separate from our security business. And we wanted to do that through purchasing real estate.
So Nick, why were you interested in real estate? I mean, you know, why not the stock market? Why not gold or Bitcoin or something else?
Well, as I really started studying wealthy individuals, a lot of they were able to build wealth through a couple of different things. And the primary two were business, building their own business, and then buying real estate or building a business surrounded by real estate. So as I wanted to model my life and my education around the successful, that's what initially drew me into real estate. And then the more I learned about it, I learned about the different tax benefits you can get, the ways that you're able to develop income streams. And so all of those things contributed to learning more and more and then jumping in and starting my own investment company.
So, I mean, did you look at that when you thought of, I mean, you know, don't you read stuff about wealthy people and they're investing in stocks and things like that too, right?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. What I did see is 2008, 2007, that crash. And I saw a lot of people that I thought were the smartest people in the world watch their investments just go up in smoke. And a lot of people getting ready to retire, especially my family, had to push off retirement because that 401k collapsed. And that was originally what we first got me thinking about. Okay, smart people in the world I knew growing up did that. They put all their money in the stock market, bought mutual funds, and this is what happened. So that's what started me thinking and looking down a whole new way. And it was almost a paradigm shift.
I agree with you. Income property is the most historically proven asset class in America. I don't know anybody who got rich in the stock market, yet I know zillions, that's not an exact number, who got rich in real estate. The only people that seem to get rich in the stock market are the insiders. You know, you own your own company, you do an IPO, certainly get rich that way, but that's an insider. You work on Wall Street, that you're an insider, right? But real estate's open to everybody, isn't it?
It is. It really is. And there's really lower barriers to entry, I think, in real estate, too, at least in my experience, has been last year or so getting out, networking, meeting a lot of more successful people than I in real estate. And there's so many different ways you can create value and solve problems in the real estate world. I have found that in different types of investments.
Yeah, it allows you to be creative and you to bring your own creativity to it. And it doesn't mean like creative in terms of how should you fix up the house, what kind of carpet and paint should you put in. It means creative in deal structuring, creativity, and you know how you're going to design your portfolio, you know, diversify, what locations, things like that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the big thing that draws me in now. The more and more I learn is the creativity. The sky's the limit. There's all different ways you can structure deals, raise cash, purchase properties. It all that comes down to is how creative can you be.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Nick, do you have a website you want to give out or a Twitter account?
Sure, we do have two separate websites. The first one for Toss, the security company, is www.toss-tango-oscar-sierra-llc, so Lima Lima Charlie.
Spoken like a true military man.
Well, I found it's easier to phonetically spell it out because sometimes the connections don't work out too well. So
yeah, I love it. You military guy or a pilot, yeah.
And the other website is Whiffum Group, and that's Whiskey India India Foxtrot Mike Group. .com.
And Whiffum is what's in it for me, right?
Exactly. What's in it for me. And it's a way of structuring and listening to the problem from the person that you're talking to, and how can you solve their problem.
Tell us about that a little bit, the Whiffum. You know, how do we do that better? How can we walk in the other person's moccasins, as it were?
I think listening. Asking questions and generally listening to the response, not trying to spend so much time trying to get your point across, listening to what the other person has to say. And it gets back to that creatively solving problems in real estate. And if you're successful, you make a profit. And that's the way that we've tried to approach it. And that's how we designed the company. Because as we grow, I want to be able to bring people on and train them with that Whiffum mindset.
That is a great mindset. Nick Pulse, it was a pleasure talking to you today. Thanks for being on with us.
Hey, thanks a lot, Jason. It was an absolute pleasure.
Thank you for joining us today for the Holistic Survival Show, protecting the people, places, and profits you care about in uncertain times. Be sure to listen to our Creating Wealth Show, which focuses on exploiting the financial and wealth creation opportunities in today's economy. Learn more at www.jasonhartman.com or search Jason Hartman on iTunes. This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company, offering very general guidelines and information. Opinions of guests are their own, and none of the content should be considered individual advice. If you require personalized advice, please consult an appropriate professional. Information deemed reliable, but not guaranteed. This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company, all rights reserved. For distribution or publication rights and media interviews, please visit www.hartmanmedia.com or email media@hartmanmedia.com. Nothing on this show should be considered specific personal or professional advice. Please consult an appropriate tax, legal, real estate, or business professional for individualized advice. Opinions of guests are their own, and the host is acting on behalf of Platinum Properties Investor Network, Inc., exclusively.